can't
only
win.
Only violence that, if it comes our way, will be because government is wanting their building back.
Because government is wanting their building back?
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
One more time.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Ah, yes, you found us. It is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and coast to coast and around the globe on kpfk.org, on the Stitcher app, the TuneIn app, on iTunes, and Radio Sputnik 5 days a week. Of course, the Bradcast is usually hosted by Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, but today, once more with feeling, you've got me, Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com, but never fear, Brad and Desi return tomorrow. Wow, what a way to start the year. Of course, all eyes are on Oregon as a handful of armed militiamen and ranchers and, you know, run-of-the-mill gun-toting crazies were occupying a federal facility near Burns, Oregon. Ostensibly, it's all part of a protest on behalf of two local ranchers who are headed to jail. Now, if you're thinking that this sounds a lot like the Clive and Bundy deal, you're not too far off. In fact, here's his son, Ammon Bundy, one of the leaders of this standoff.
Only violence that, if it comes our way, will be because government is wanting their building back.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. He said the only violence that'll happen, if it comes our way, it'll be because the government wants its building back. Point proven? I mean, really? Need one say more? But there is more. Yeah, I don't need to play any more of him. Here, though, actually is an NBC News report on the standoff.
From the remote and frozen Oregon wilderness, a call to arms.
And this will become a base place for patriots from all over the country to come and to be housed here and live here. And we're planning on staying here for several years.
The group of armed protesters taking over the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, led by Ammon Bundy, son of Cliven Bundy, the Nevada rancher known for his 2014 standoff with federal authorities over grazing rights. Today, Ammon's brother Ryan gave us a tour.
We're here only to promote the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, and to help the people reestablish their rights.
This latest standoff started after weeks of tension and a peaceful protest on Saturday. Dozens rallying in support of Dwight and Steve Hammond, two Oregon ranchers facing jail time for lighting fires on federal land.
I'm going to jail for 5 years for 127. It seems like a bit of an overkill.
The Hammonds already served time before a judge ruled it wasn't enough.
They wanted to stand up for their rights. We would be right there by their side.
The Hammond's attorney says they will report to federal prison on Monday and that the Bundys don't speak for them. But that hasn't stopped the standoff. One member posting a goodbye video to his family.
And I am 100% willing to lay my life down.
The sheriff has warned people to stay away from the refuge, but so far officials, including the FBI, have kept a low profile.
Well, they're going to have to make some decision at some point that, you know, they can't let people just come in there at will.
Meanwhile, the group has given itself a new name. They now want to be known as Citizens for Constitutional Freedom. I still go back to that Ammon Bundy statement. This one?
Only violence that, if it comes our way, will be because government is wanting their building back.
Government is wanting their building back. He already admitted it. It's the government's building. They have taken it over. They're breaking the law. Can I just say, if these protesters, you can't see me doing the air quotes, if these protesters were black or Muslim, they'd be dead by now. Stay tuned. A cloud of toxic methane gas were hanging over the LA suburb of Porter Ranch, and the media has been silent on this deadly story. Today on the Bradcast, we'll get to the bottom of it with Tim O'Connor of the Environmental Defense Fund. But first, We are coming up on the sixth anniversary of the Supreme Court's democracy-killing Citizens United decision. That's happening on the 21st of this month. After a quick break, I'll return with David Cobb, National Outreach Director of Move to Amend, about their efforts to, do what the name implies, amend the Constitution with their We the People amendment. Now, it's two short paragraphs, and it reads thusly. Section 1, artificial entities such as corporations do not have constitutional rights. Here's the text. The rights protected by the Constitution of the United States are the rights of natural persons only. Artificial entities established by the laws of any state, the United States, or any foreign state shall have no rights under this Constitution and are subject to regulation by the people through federal, state, or local laws. The privileges of artificial entities shall be determined by the people through federal, state, or local law and shall not be construed to be inherent or inalienable. Love it. Section 2, money is not free speech. Federal, state, and local government shall regulate, limit, or prohibit contributions and expenditures, including a candidate's own contributions and expenditures, to ensure that all citizens, regardless of their economic status, have access to the political process, and that no person gains as a result of their money substantially more access or ability to influence in any way the election of any candidate for public office or any ballot measure. Federal, state, and local government shall require that any permissible contributions and expenditures be publicly disclosed. The judiciary shall not construe the spending of money to influence elections to be speech under the First Amendment. That's it. So, we'll take a quick break and come back on the other side with David Cobb of Move to Amend next. I'm Nicole Sandler, your trusty guest host today on the broadcast. We'll be right back. Well, it is that. It's a brand new day. That's a brand new year. But, you know, the more things change, the more they often stay the same. Welcome back to the broadcast. You still got me, Nicole Sandler, in for Brad and Desi, but they will be back tomorrow. So we've got that to look forward to. Something else happening this week, well, for me anyway, because I'm in Florida, is that David Cobb is coming back to our state. He does this at least once a year, has for the last 5 or 6 years. It's a barnstorming tour of the state, in which he goes from city to city and tells people about the need for a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. For those who don't know about Move to Amend, I thought we'd start off by talking about, you know, what happened. It was January 21st, 2010. I'll never forget that day because that was not only the day that the Supreme Court handed down this horrific ruling on Citizens United, but it was also the day. It really was the day democracy died in this country. That was the day the plug was pulled on Air America Radio, too. So as I was waiting for the decision to come down from the Supreme Court, that happened. And then I get a call telling me Air America was off the air. And so that was the night I moved my show online. Boy, talk about being double slapped on a day. But is that the day Move to Amend sprung into action, or you had already started the ball rolling before then?
Well, we had prepared. Nicole, I certainly remember the conversation I had with you very shortly after that, because you were one of the first journalists to actually cover not just Citizens United as a campaign finance case, which it is, but you delved deeper into the whole notion of corporate constitutional rights.
Yeah.
And I really remember that conversation very well. To set the context, as a lawyer and a social change agent, I had been following the Citizens United case in the lower courts. And, of course, I knew and many people knew that the Roberts Court was going to issue a very bad opinion. The Roberts Court has been the most corporatist, most activist court in modern history, maybe in the last 100 years. So in the fall of 2009, we were preparing for whatever came down the pike. So we had been preparing for months. But it is true that on the date of the decision, January 21st, 2010, we formally launched Moved to Men. Nicole, we were 12 people in a living room. Now, 12 people who had worked for decades on issues of campaign finance and corporate power. To be sure, we weren't just 12 yahoos, right? We were 12 people who had history, literally decades of work on this issue. But we knew that when something bad happens, when something really transformational happens, it provides an opportunity to frame a response. And instead of it merely being a response about, oh no, money in elections, which is horrible,
right,
we wanted to go deeper and inspire people to a deeper movement. So we were 12 people in the living room in 2010.
Wow.
Nicole, today we are 400,000 people and growing every day.
That's pretty amazing. That really is amazing. I know, and you have not let up. MoveToAmend.org is the website, and you can get all the information there. And in fact, you know, the mission of Move to Amend is to get, well, what you tell us.
Absolutely, Nicole, because, you know, we consider ourselves serious, nonviolent revolutionaries, because we know that corporations and the billionaire class are not just exercising power today. They're literally ruling us. We don't live in a democracy. We live in an oligarchy where the rich and powerful literally control every aspect of our lives. You mentioned Air America Radio. Let's just be very clear. Air America Radio ended because of the threat that it existed, that it posed to corporate media. Because what you know, what I know, and I suspect your listeners know, is that there are six major media corporations that basically control over 80% of the content that's produced in this country. And not just news, but entertainment, art, culture, etc. Literally corporatized, right? So we know that corporations have taken over the media. We know that corporations have taken over our healthcare system. It's the reason we don't have single payer in this country, the only industrialized country on planet Earth that does not offer single payer healthcare as a fundamental human right. I could go on and on about how corporations have taken over our energy production, our transportation sector. Literally, our entire society is being controlled by this billionaire class through the use of corporations. So what do we ordinary people do about it? At Move to Mend, we have an intentional, deliberate campaign that will culminate in a constitutional amendment to abolish in its entirety the illegitimate, court-created idea that corporations are persons with constitutional rights, and abolish the equally odious, also court-created idea that money is speech. You see, Nicole, these two doctrines are not just individual court decisions. They're not just individual laws. They're entire legal doctrines that have stolen our sacred right to self-government in the United States of America. And we have a plan in the next 10 years to win a constitutional amendment to abolish these doctrines.
Now, David Cobb is with us, again, national spokesman for Move to Amend, who is headed back down here to Florida. You always tend to do these Florida barnstorming events, it seems, in January. Might it have something to do with the weather?
Well, you know, Nicole, you're a smart investigative reporter and journalist, and you're absolutely right. One of the privileges of being able to control my own schedule is that I tend to go to Florida in January every year.
Well, that makes sense. Hopefully, we're actually having a cold spell. It rained. It's like low 60s. It's cold. Just be prepared. Anyway.
Well, listen, I want your listeners to know, if you go to the website movetoamend.org, you can find out where we're going to be. But I'm flying into Miami and then literally going up the Atlantic coast all the way to Jacksonville, across the Tallahassee, Pensacola, back down the Gulf side, Tampa,
St. Paul, Sarasota.
In other words, literally the entire state. I'm sort of doing a big, huge swath across the state. Two full weeks, a different event every night.
So it starts Thursday night here in Broward County. I think you're going to be in Davie. But yeah, I was planning on coming Thursday night, but now Obama's doing this gun town hall meeting. So either we come Thursday and DVR that, but then also Saturday, you'll be in Delray Beach, which is not too far from me either. So if I don't make the Thursday night, maybe we'll make the Sunday afternoon in Delray Beach. Then you head up to Jacksonville, then Milton, Summerfield, St. Pete, Tampa, Sarasota. So you are doing sort of a U. And so now I was mentioning to David, my new husband. We got married on New Year's Eve, by the way.
Oh, congratulations. That's wonderful news.
Yeah. So I was mentioning to David what a great speaker you are. And the first time I saw you speak, you know, you just won me over because you know your stuff and you've done this so many times that this is what you do. This is like retail politics. This is what the best politicians should be doing.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Listen, Nicole, the thing is, I believe in the principle of self-government deeply. Mm-hmm. I believe in the promise of the United States of America as a democratic republic where we the people govern ourselves and where our individual constitutional rights are not subject to the political process. And that's what's so important about Move to Mend. We are the only group that's calling for a constitutional amendment to abolish this idea that corporations have constitutional rights. Because what we see is if corporations can claim constitutional rights, it means that they can overturn any democratically enacted law that attempts to control corporate conduct. For example, environmental protection laws, worker safety laws, public health laws, as well as campaign finance laws can be overturned because a constitutional right is sacred. Nicole, a constitutional right is one that is inviolate. In other words, the local, state, or even federal government should not be able to pass any law that infringes upon your rights to speak, to assemble, to worship or not worship as you choose. And that is true of you and me and every single one of your listeners. We at Move to Mend are committed to the concept of individual constitutional rights being protected. And that's why it's so perverse if these corporations, which are just business entities, and to be clear, we support commerce, we support business, we believe that corporations should exist, but they do not, should not have constitutional rights because it allows them then to overturn laws. It is illegitimate exercise of the political process when the court created this idea.
You know, on the website, David Cobbett, movetoamend.org, if you go to the menu right along the top and it says amendment, and you can click on the We the People amendment. Now, there are a few other amendments out there. I mentioned Bernie Sanders. The one time I was in the Senate gallery was the day he was introducing his amendment, which was also then introduced in the House by my current Congressman, Ted Deutch. So I've got, you know, there's like a connection here. But the We the People amendment, the amendment that Move to Amend has written is even more simple and straightforward than that one. As
well,
I said, there are a few different.
I want to say the Sanders-Deutsch amendment is very good as a campaign finance amendment.
Okay.
What do I mean by that? I mean that the Sanders-Deutsch amendment says very clearly that the expenditure of money can be regulated in elections. That's basically the doctrine. Well, we agree with that. The Move to Amend language includes that provision, but we also add a provision that says explicitly and clearly that artificial entities like corporations or unions or nonprofits do not have constitutional rights. So we take the Sanders-Deutsch Amendment and go even further because let's be clear, Nicole, that it's not just that money have become money is speech. It's not just that elections are auctions now, which is true and abhorrent and must be addressed. But if we, even if we pass the Sanders-Deutsch Amendment, we would still have corporations controlling us.
Wow.
And our position is this. If we are going to amend the United States Constitution, let's actually be for what we're for. Let's actually solve the problem.
Right. So here's my question then regarding the We the People amendment. You have on the page, and it's really short. It's like two paragraphs. I'll read it in a moment. But you have a place where you can click to send a message to your senators and one where you can click to send a message to your congressperson urging them to co-sponsor the We the People amendment. Has it been actually introduced in Congress and by whom?
Oh, my gosh. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Nicole, we thought that we, because it's such a big lift, we thought that we would be multiple years into the process before we were able to actually get it introduced. We have been introduced now. The principal sponsor is Representative Rick Nolan out of Duluth, Minnesota.
Ah, okay.
Now, he's a very interesting sponsor because He is a returning congressperson. He came in during the era of the so-called Watergate baby freshman class, and then served for several years, then went back to Duluth as a business person. He came back because he felt called back because things had gotten so bad. So he has a unique perspective to say, I thought things were bad in the 70s, but now corporations have literally run roughshod. So he's got a very interesting perspective. Rick Nolan is a champion. But catch this, Nicole. We now have 14 co-sponsors of the We the People Amendment. And a Republican has joined us in North Carolina. So what we're seeing is that our grassroots organizing actually bearing fruit. And I want to be clear, we didn't start lobbying Congress because we know that you have to build a grassroots movement before you can really exercise power. One of the things that I think that progressives have failed to do successfully is actually do the on-the-ground organizing, you called it retail politics, associated with building power. And we see that, that has happened. See, Move to Mend didn't just go from 12 people to 400,000 individuals. We've also helped 16 states pass resolutions of support of Move to Mend. We've also helped 600 communities pass resolutions of support. That is, city council members or county board of supervisors voting to support it. But here's the other thing we've done, Nicole. We've done the work of putting it on the ballot in over 300 local communities where actual ordinary people get to vote on whether they support a constitutional amendment to abolish corporate constitutional rights and money of speech. Nicole, we've been on the ballot 300 times. Guess how many times we've won?
300.
Every single one of them. You
that
know the
I know.
Answer. We haven't lost yet.
Nope.
And it certainly does include San Francisco and Boston and Madison, Wisconsin. You know, the very liberal places.
Sure.
But you know where else Move to Mend has won? We've won in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Wow.
We've won in Devlin, Wisconsin. I love this one because Devlin, Wisconsin is the hometown of Republican Tea Party Governor Scott Walker. They haven't voted for a Democrat for president or Congress in over 40 years in Devlin, Wisconsin. Move to Mend was on the ballot there, and we won.
Wow.
Nicole, we won a statewide initiative in the state of Montana, the entire state of Montana. And it just shows that Move to Mend's framing, organizing, messaging is cutting across political affiliation, across perceived ideology, across the conservative, liberal, moderate, and says, we don't believe that corporate constitutional rights is actually an issue. It's a principle of self-government. And because this principle is one that actually is stealing our sacred right to govern ourselves, we're able to build relationships and genuine coalitions with Democrats, Republicans, Greens, Libertarians, and Independents, conservatives, moderates, radicals, liberals, you name it. People are coming together that say we may disagree on issues, but we believe that we, the people, are supposed to govern ourselves. We believe this court has illegitimately stolen that right, and we're going to build a movement to exercise our right to self-government.
Cool. No, you know, David Cobb, I'm glad to hear that one Republican has officially signed on. I'm wondering what kind of support you're seeing from, like, the libertarian-leaning Republicans, because I would think they're natural allies here.
They are indeed. In fact, the reality is that the Republican in North Carolina is a very principled libertarian-leaning Republican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reality is this. At the leadership level, at the Republican National Committee, we know that the rich and powerful basically control the Republican National Committee. We know that they are taking their money and their marching orders from corporations and Wall Street and the big banks. But you know, Nicole, it doesn't give me any pleasure to say this, but we also know that at the leadership level, the Democratic National Committee is taking their money and marching orders from the same corporations, the same banks.
Yep.
That's the reason that this movement is actually so exciting to me, is because it says, look, you know, we know from past history that significant social change only happens when you create independent political motion. Now, I want to be clear. I don't care whether you're a member of the Democratic, Republican, Libertarian, or Green Party. If you want to work with us, we want to work with you, because that's what independent political expression does. It says we are independent from the boss. We are independent from the head honchos. And I don't mind telling you, the Bernie Sanders campaign is part of the reason that I'm so excited going into 2016, because he is galvanizing ordinary people to get involved in electoral politics in a way I haven't seen since Jesse Jackson did it in the 1980s.
Right. And in fact, you know, I was going to say this, the media has not reported. There's a media blackout on Bernie Sanders and his campaign. But he is light years ahead of where Barack Obama was at this point in the 2008 election cycle.
He's raised more money. He's inspired more people, more young people. He literally is recreating the Jesse Jackson Rainbow Coalition. I'm watching it happen in a way that is nothing short of stunning to me. So, and you're right, the media blackout around Bernie Sanders is really, I mean, it's obscene when you consider that Bernie is drawing bigger crowds more consistently than Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And yet Donald Trump, we are on a full spectrum blast where Donald Trump is on every television, radio, and media spot that you can imagine, and yet Bernie Sanders outdraws Donald Trump everywhere he goes.
And it's amazing. And yet, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, again, and you know why? Because the six major corporations that control news in this country actually find Donald Trump to be a joke, but they're scared of Bernie.
I believe they are scared of Bernie. And they also see, look, it's the dumbing down of America where, oh, my God, Donald Trump is a reality TV star and he draws ratings. So I guess we need to feed the monster and keep this vicious cycle going. We put him on TV, we get ratings, put him on TV, get ratings. The thing is, though, you know, Iowa is going to happen and Donald Trump is not going to win and Bernie Sanders could. And I think the country wakes up. But to get back to move to amend David Cobb, Bernie Sanders, as I mentioned earlier, introduced his own constitutional amendment to undo Citizens United. It's a campaign finance reform amendment. He has been talking about this, and in fact, the week Air America went off, the week Citizens United was decided by the Supreme Court the way it was, I think I interviewed Bernie Sanders back then. He was concerned about it then. I'm wondering, I don't know if he's endorsed move to amend specifically. I'm sure he applauds the work you guys are doing. That was a question from the chat room. Has he endorsed you guys?
Yeah, we do not have. Bernie Sanders has not co-sponsored move to amend yet.
Okay.
We are quite confident that he will. The reality is that, I have not been able to meet with him because we were really lobbying in Congress on a consistent basis, he had launched his presidential campaign. And so, you have to separate those two things under law. So his campaign is, and of course, he's so incredibly busy. So here's what I say. This movement is getting larger, stronger, and better organized every day. There is no doubt that we are going to actually amend the Constitution. It is going to abolish corporate constitutional rights.
Good.
And we do believe that Bernie will join us. He hasn't yet.
Have any of the other presidential candidates weighed in? I mean, let's talk about Hillary Clinton, who is, being touted by the media as the presumptive nominee. I believe in the primary process, so I'm not willing to go there. She is, though, the Democratic front runner. What, if anything, has Hillary Clinton said about corporate constitutional rights? And
she has said nothing. Hillary Clinton has said nothing about corporate constitutional rights. And to be very candid, I don't expect her to, because we know that she is literally funded by Wall Street, by the financial institutions, by the big banks, and by corporations. And it doesn't give me any satisfaction to tell you that, but all you have to do is look at the Federal Election Commission filings and you see where Hillary Clinton, the bulk of her money is coming from, as opposed to the small $50 to $100 donations of Bernie Sanders. So the reality is that Hillary Clinton has not taken a position against corporate constitutional rights. She has said some good words around campaign finance, But I find it ironic that she says these good words, but does not actually follow it up with deeds. And we see the exact opposite with Bernie Sanders. What we see with Bernie is that he has good rhetoric, and his campaign policy proposals and his own conduct reflects a commitment to those principles, not just words.
And how about on the Republican side? Has anybody even said anything approaching?
You know, the closest we got was actually some very strong language from Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who was talking about the corrupting and corrosive influence of money in elections and corporate power.
Yeah.
And, of course, he never was taken seriously by the Republican National Committee.
Yeah, no, that's sad. So David Cobb, again, here we go. It's 2016. You started up, moved to amend, as we mentioned earlier, in September of 2009. So we're coming into, you know, almost 7 years now. And you're still going around explaining to people what happened, how corporations became people, not really, and what we need to do to turn it around. So what should people do? Obviously, you're in Florida. Come to an event.
Your listeners, the first thing I want your listeners to do, whether they're on your independent radio station or I know you guest host with our good friend Brad Friedman.
Yep, we'll be on the broadcast today.
The listeners to this program should go to the website www.movetoamend.org and sign the petition. Well, to be clear, Nicole, this is not a petition that we're going to just merely submit to elected officials. This is an organizing petition. We're going to get in touch with you. We're going to get you in touch with people in your local community who are doing this work. We will help you to pass resolutions of support. We will help give you the tools and train you in the use of tools in retail politics. Because what we know is this. We need every candidate for office, whether it's president, Congress, state legislature, dog catcher. If you are running for office, we need you to take a position, and we will force you to take a position on corporate constitutional rights. And then we will let our 400,000, soon to be half a million, soon to be a million, supporters know candidates' position on this issue. We are serious. We are building a mass movement. And the only thing that we need, Nicole, is more people. We're growing every day. We're not there yet, but we are on the way.
So movetoamend.org, and this is what's happening in the first part of 2016. Again, getting people to sign the petition. If you haven't done so yet, go to movetoamend.org and do it. Again, if you're in Florida, attend one of David's Florida barnstorming events coming up over the next 2 weeks. I will post all the dates on the blog at radioornot.com. They're also at movetoamend.org. Just, you know, look under events. And then share the knowledge. I mean, this is...
Please. Oh, thank you for that part, Nicole. Because, you know, one thing that we do know, you know, at Radio or Not, you know that you literally had to create your own niche to be able to actually speak the truth.
Yep.
Outside of the elements of the corporate filter, right? The other way we can do this is for people to post on their Facebook accounts, use their own email accounts, use their Instagram or Snapchat. The point is, we need to use the internet while it is still free and available to us to communicate to one another without the corporate filter. That's very exciting to me that you have your own internet radio station so that you're literally able to speak as long as you need to, as truthfully as you need to, and you don't have the producers or the corporate advertisers down your neck.
Nobody. In fact, you know, it's the beauty of it. It's also the hard part of it, because as you know, I am listener funded. So my pay is determined by how many people can or decide to reach in their pocketbook and make a contribution. It is true public radio the way it used to be. By the same token, Move to Amend, how do you guys survive? How are you funded?
The same way you do. Mm-hmm. You know, Nicole, we don't get foundation money. We certainly don't get government or corporate money. Literally, 100% of our donations are coming from individuals, and most of our donations, like you, like Bernie Sanders, are at the small donor level, right? I'm talking about $50 to $100 a piece. And yet, we are raising this year, last year, it just closed out, I'm proud to tell you, at a very grassroots level, we raised $400,000.
Wow.
And again, that, and what do we do? Well, we pour immediately into organizers, into tools, into resources. You know, we don't have a bloated board of directors that are getting paid. All of our board of directors are unpaid volunteers. But we do pay for organizers. And, you know, we pay a living wage, but not an exorbitant wage. Mm-hmm. In other words, the people who are doing this work are doing it because, like you, like your listeners, they're true believers. They have dedicated themselves to this prospect. So absolutely, please go to the website, www.movetoamend.org. And if you're so excited that you just can't wait for an email response, you can pick up the telephone and call us at 707-269-0984, and we'll get in touch. We'll get right back with you.
David Cobb, again, national spokesman for Move to Amend, movetoamend.org, on Twitter, at Move to Amend. They're easy to find. And you know, a more important cause you won't find. I got to, real quickly, at the top of the page, you know, you've got the you know, the splash screen where with different things. So you've teamed up with Ben and Jerry on their stamp stampede?
We have, yes.
Awesome.
Yes, Ben and Jerry have been big supporters of ours. And
awesome.
So we are running the stampede. It's called the Stamp Stampede,
yep.
Or we call it the Stamp to Amend.
Yes.
So you can
awesome.
Buy stamps to stamp your money with political
yeah,
slogans.
not to be used to buy politicians. We have that
that's
one.
My very favorite
we
line.
Have that one. So, yeah. David Cobb, I'm so
well,
happy.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity, and I want to close out by just congratulating you on a personal level on your marriage, and I hope to meet you and reconnect with you, but also to meet your husband sometime while I'm in Florida.
Oh, without a doubt. And he will come with me. Either we'll be there on Thursday or in Davie, Florida, or we'll be there on Sunday in Delray Beach. One way or another, we'll come out. I would love for you guys to meet. And I want him to hear you speak, because I've been raving about ever since I saw the email that you're coming back to Florida. I'm like, you got to hear David Cobb. He's awesome.
Oh, well, so, you're so kind. Listen, thanks so again. And folks, remember that Radio Nada is brought to you because people like you pitch in a few dollars, and that's the reason that you have this valuable tool to be able to use by the public for the public. So thanks again, Nicole, and we'll see you soon.
David Cobb of Move to Amend. Find them at movetoamend.org and on Twitter at Move to Amend. So again, we were talking about his visit to Florida because obviously he's coming to Florida this week. But Move to Amend is in every state. There are chapters in most cities. So get involved. This is not going to happen without all of us getting involved. Go to movetoamend.org, find the local chapter near you, and get to work. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, as promised, what is that toxic cloud hanging above Porter Ranch just north of Los Angeles? And should you flee? The quick answer is yes, but stay tuned for the details. I'm Nicole Sandler, one last time, in for Brad and Desi on the Bradcast. You're feeling good. It's a new year. This is the first edition of the Bradcast for 2016. Brad and Desi will be back to christen the program for the new year, I guess, if you do such things, tomorrow. And I'm sure they'll have a lot to say, especially about this next story. But first, a quick postscript to our conversation with David Cobb. The California Supreme Court cleared the way for the legislature to place an advisory measure on the November ballot asking voters their views on campaign spending. The court had previously blocked the measure after a conservative group challenged it, arguing lawmakers were not legally entitled to put advisory propositions before voters. The proposition, though, asks voters whether there should be a federal constitutional amendment to overturn the Supreme Court's ruling in Citizens United case, which permitted unlimited corporate and union spending for federal elections. The Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association had argued that the advisory measures would clutter the ballot and could be used to shape voter turnout. But the court, in a 6-1 ruling, said the state legislature has the right to consult voters about possible federal constitutional amendments. So there you go. at least as goes California, they say, so goes the rest of the country. We can only hope in that respect. In this respect, not so much. Check this out. On October 23rd, we're looking at almost 3 months ago now. On October 23rd, a massive natural gas leak erupted at a storage well operated by SoCalGas in Aliso Canyon, just outside of Los Angeles. The leak has caused serious health impacts for nearby residents of the Porter Ranch neighborhood, and it opened eyes across the state and the country to the problem of oil and gas methane pollution. Now, weeks later, months later, the leak is ongoing, and the gas company estimates it will be spring before it can be stopped. So, on the line with me is Timothy J. O'Connor. He's senior attorney and director of the California Climate Initiative of the Environmental Defense Fund. Am I identifying you correctly?
Yes, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure, although I wish we were talking about something different than this. But the reason I asked you if you could join us today was I was over at the website for the Environmental Defense Fund, which is edf.org, and saw your coverage of what is going on now in, I guess it's Aliso Canyon, in just north of Los Angeles. It's outside the community known as Porter Ranch, where people are being poisoned by methane escaping from a leak in the ground. I mean, am I oversimplifying what's going on there?
Well, there's a vast quantity of methane coming out of this Aliso Canyon facility. In addition to methane, there's other compounds like benzene and toluene that are known carcinogens that are being detected in the air. And so you mix the climate impact of the methane plus the public health impact from people being exposed to really significant odors and the not knowing of what else is in the air. And it's really a public health and environmental catastrophe.
Now, Timothy O'Connor, this facility in Aliso Canyon outside of L.A. is a so-called natural gas facility. This is where, now, is there a well there? Are they drilling or are they fracking for so-called natural gas there? What is this facility where the leak is?
Well, across the United States, we have about 400 different facilities that store natural gas. And that gas is pumped underground where it's then kept until it's needed, like during the winter months right now where it gets cold and people use a lot of natural gas, the gas utilities need to be able to provide it quickly. And so this is one of those facilities, although this is the fifth largest facility in the United States and supplies natural gas across Southern California. And at this site, which holds about 80 billion standard cubic feet, which is just a vast quantity, it's like an unfathomable amount of natural gas, there are about 115 different wells. And one of those 115 broke below the surface at about 500 feet below the surface. And when it broke, the gas that's stored in this facility about 8,000 feet down, which is where they keep all the gas, they pump it down there and it actually gets liquid because it's under such intense pressure that the gas is allowed to escape up and out this well and into the atmosphere. And because it's under such intense pressure, it's escaping up out of this well, you know, with tremendous force and velocity and volume. And that's why it's such a massive quantity of gas that's escaping.
Wow. Okay. Now, you said so much there that we need to unpack. So bear with me because, you know, I'm just a layman, a woman who likes to be able to breathe clean air and hopes that her 16-year-old daughter will have a planet that's inhabitable when, you know, when she's my age. So let's first talk about natural gas. And I hate the moniker that it's been given, obviously. I'm sure that was focus tested because it's, hey, natural. It sounds good. But and I guess in a sense it is, in that it forms naturally in the shale, right? In the Earth's core. But the process by which we get it out of the Earth, out of the shale, is anything but natural. That's the process known as fracking, right?
Well, fracking or hydraulic fracturing is one of the many methods that people have developed over time to get natural gas out. It's actually natural gas, you know, traditionally found where there's oil because it's the byproduct of, as you were saying, you know, decaying matter from the dinosaurs, really. I mean, it's a fossil fuel, just like oil, but it's a much lighter version of that. And so sometimes you used to be that you could stick a pipe in the ground, deep down in the ground, and you could sort of suck it out much more freely. But now, of course, as we've gotten to the harder and harder to reach source of natural gas, they have invented fracking, and that has enabled them to get more gas out of the ground. Now, this facility isn't necessarily fracked. What it is really is an old oil field where they suck the oil out, and then afterwards they pumped a bunch of gas in where it's stored. Now, a lot of that gas that California imports does come from areas that have used fracking to get the gas, and so some of this gas is indeed from fracking. But generally, this facility is an old oil and gas storage field that has been converted, or excuse me, oil and gas production field that's been converted to storage.
So they do go through all these, horrible, and really, in some cases, deadly procedures to get the stuff out of the ground. And then I just learned from you, they pump it back into the ground to store it, which makes no sense. But the other part that I think most people don't realize, because, again, it's natural gas. Natural means good, doesn't it? Is that natural gas, and I'm reading from an article you published in the blog at edf.org, that natural gas is made mostly of methane. Methane, though, is a poison, isn't it?
Well, so methane is a very potent greenhouse gas, about 84 times more potent than carbon dioxide that contributed to climate change. So when methane goes into the air, it acts very quickly at contributing to global warming. In fact, 25% of the temperature increases that we're experiencing right now, based on data from the International Panel on Climate Change, is because of methane emissions into the atmosphere. And so while methane itself is not a public health poison, you can breathe methane, very high concentrations, and you won't be affected. The other stuff that is emitted alongside the methane, that is very problematic, and the climate punch that it packs is really quite dramatic. And so, I mean, it's coming, this week is sort of raising the issue of methane from a number of angles, and the climate and public health side really does represent the double whammy of what methane leaks, why they're so problematic.
Right. Now, the other part is natural gas and methane. They're colorless, tasteless, odorless, right? Now, I know that there's some compound put into natural gas to give it an odor so people know if there's a leak somewhere. Does this stuff have that in it, or is that put in after it's stored?
Yeah, certainly. The compound mercaptan, which is what they put in natural gas so when it leaks you smell it, that is injected into the gas stream at this facility before it's piped underground.
Okay.
Stuff that's leaking out has that in it.
Okay.
At other facilities where, say, on interstate pipelines, it isn't put in there, and so we think that there have been leaks happening across the U.S. that people just haven't been able to smell. And so this leak at this facility is really raising an issue about how much do we know about storage fields generally, and how much are they regulated for keeping this gas in the ground. We know that there have been catastrophes in places like Kansas and Texas and Louisiana where people have lost their lives and there's been a tremendous amount of climate pollution. And these facilities fly under the radar until those catastrophes strike. And now we've got one in California. And the response needs to be more than just, we'll figure it out at this facility. We really need a wholesale review of natural gas storage, we think, in the United States, and to determine whether the regulations are sufficient to protect the environment and the public from the dangers that they represent.
Right. Well, it sounds as if they're not. Again, we're speaking with Timothy O'Connor. He's the director of California Oil and Gas the Environmental Defense Fund. The website is edf.org. Now, you have a live counter going on, and as of this moment when we're taping this, 77,364.909192 metric tons of methane are estimated to have escaped from this Aliso Canyon facility since October 23rd, when this leak started. Now, you mentioned that there are a whole lot of these little storage wells, do we know which one the leak is coming from?
Yeah, well, we certainly know that this leak is coming from what's known as SS, or Standard Cessnon 25. That is the leak the well at the facility, which is one of over 100. And when you think about one well leaking this much methane, and we convert, say, that amount of methane that's coming out into into other things. And so that's about the same amount of pollution on the climate side as burning 730 million gallons of gasoline. So, you know, you think about your, you know, one individual thing, you're like, oh, you know, maybe I'll carpool today. You know, you'll save a gallon of gas.
Right.
Well, this single week is undermining 730 million of those. And so it is really quite problematic in terms of undermining the state's progress on reducing methane pollution, but really just goes to show about how potent methane is as a greenhouse gas. We just absolutely cannot let these types of leaks happen.
Right, and people getting sick. I mean, Aliso Canyon, this facility is not far from the community of Porter Ranch. Nice homes there, and people are getting sick. Now, a lot of them have had to be evacuated. Look, if I lived there, I'd be long gone knowing that this stuff is in the air. I'm guessing it's in the water. It's everywhere now. And the estimates are that it'll be spring before this leak can be stopped. So, first, a number of questions here. Who's responsible for relocating all the people who have to move? And what happens next? I mean, how do they clean it up?
Yeah, well, the Southern California Gas Company is going to bear all or most of this, of the costs and the responsibility for relocating people. They've been ordered by the health department and by the state of California to make that happen. Nobody I've talked to that's been relocated has taken the relocation assistance because they were, you know, just sick and tired of living at home with their pets and their family. And, you know, they just really wanted to move into a motel 30 miles away where their kids could go to a strange school. You know, so we've got a lot of people here that are affected, thousands of families that were displaced over New Year's, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, like whatever it is. I mean, this is at the worst possible time. And now it's in the middle of winter and in El Nino. You know, I think that, you know, the impacts to the community here, you're going to have a hard time adding them up. And the health problems are just beginning. You know, people, I know for me, my kids, you know, I wouldn't want them going to a school where, you know, over 50 kids a day were going to the nurse with bloody noses. And that's why they closed the schools as well. And so we're not going to know the full long-term impact of this until it's all said and done. And even after they stop the leak, I think we're going to see stuff continue to pile up. And that's why there have been at least four class action lawsuits, which have been filed by the facility. So even after they pay for the relocation, they're going to be paying the lawyers for a long time.
No kidding. So, Tim, let me ask you this. This has not been in the media. It's not been on television. And I surmised on my show this morning, the reason is because, you know, you can't get the video of it. There's not these beautiful pictures like we had of the Macondo well spewing its gunk into the Gulf of Mexico for however many days it was. But on the website at edf.org, you do have pictures. They're infrared photos, and you can see the plume of poison sitting over Aliso Canyon. You have a lot of pictures there. Is there any way to bombard the media with these enhanced images taken with the infrared camera to get them to cover this?
Yeah, it's amazing. Once we put out those infrared, the most recent infrared footage where we could see the volcano of methane pollution coming out, we really did start to see more of a national pickup, but we need so much more. The Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal have covered it, and you know, we need folks like the New York Times and others. And you know, I've actually been starting to field calls internationally. A lot of folks from France and Germany and Spain and Mexico that are, you know, major oil producing or natural gas using nations that care about this climate problem and about what's coming out. And you know, just in the first week alone, after we put that video out, we've already gotten over 1 million hits on our YouTube. On our YouTube video, which is, pales in comparison to things like, you know, Kardashian video, but we think it's got a lot more significance than what people are giving it.
Well, a lot more. And so I'll make sure that my Radio or Not listeners and listeners of Brad Friedman's Bradcast know, and we can get the word out as well. Thank you for doing this work. It's so important, and you know, our mainstream media is not, you know, they've dropped the ball. So it's up to the rest of us to spread the word. Tim O'Connor, again, the website is edf.org. It's the Environmental Defense Fund. Thank you for the work you're doing and for getting this information out there. Best way to stay informed is by going to edf.org.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And thanks to Timothy O'Connor. Again, edf.org is the website for the Environmental Defense Fund. It's where you can find out not only about California's massive methane leak, but everything else that's going on our planet. And with that, we are done. And that's it for me. Well, for this time on the broadcast. Big thanks to Brad and Desi for having me fill in for them. Big thanks to all of you who listened and listened to my show while you were at it over the past week. Don't forget, I'm at RadioOrNot.com. Weekday mornings, 10 to 12 Eastern live, and podcast anytime. Until next time, to quote Brad, good luck, world, and good luck to the rest of us. And Happy New Year. I'm Nicole Sandler. See you over at Radio or Not.